Just like Brucey said, it's time for Season 2 of Fight Predictions. Join myself, Ian Hurst, Musa Christian, Oliver Harriet, as we predict all the biggest up-and-coming fights in the world of MMA and combat. Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to another episode of Fight Predictions. This one is for UFC 262, Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler for the vacant UFC Lightweight Championship. Joining me as always is the former Combat and Pro Wrestling Fight Predictions champion, Muscle Christian.
That stings a little bit, mate.
Also joining us is the current reigning defending...
Say it again.
Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast Fight Predictions Champion Oliver Harriet.
How you doing? You all right?
Rolling in after UFC 261 predictions. That was about 3 weeks ago. We've had to take a bit of time off. We wanted to do one every week or every other week, but the cards just haven't really been big enough for us to really break into. There's not been six or seven solid fights. We wanted to do the Dillashaw versus Sandhagen and Romero versus Rumble, but both those fights fell out, and we couldn't really find six solid fights to predict, so we waited another week, but we will touch on that. We're just going over UFC 261. Obviously, all you're now in the lead, but we all had a pretty good performance. All you scored 23, and me and Musa are both on 19, so it's all to play for.
Yeah, I was going
to
say just about in the lead, I think. Yeah. A lot can change, can't it, especially with how unpredictable this next card is. I think there's going to definitely be a bit of a change in there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's close. Musa, how do you feel about no longer being the champion?
Mate, it stings bad. I've had a bad couple of weeks because I actually lost my title fight on Cage Steel, and then that was bad enough, but this is just like another level. I worked so hard for that, like months of my life went into my predictions.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and this man just swanned in out of nowhere in his very first go. Didn't even have notes. That's the thing. He was looking at me like, oh, you wrote a lot. Like, he's swinging it.
Now you know how it feels.
Yeah.
I come in with all this data and you're like, what's his face? Who's he facing? Yeah, I'll pick him.
Yeah, maybe I should go back to that. I think if you study too much of this, you mess up.
So just going over UFC 261, obviously Usman versus Masvidal. What do we think?
Mad card, wasn't it? I think it wasn't. To say, I think all the fighters apart from the Shevchenko won the first round finishes, weren't they? And they were all like, bit mad, weren't they? Like two badly damaged legs, and then Masvidal and Usman in the main event. That was I didn't expect that out of Usman anyway. I didn't think he was actually capable of that, to be honest with you.
No, you think, Musa?
Yeah, I think you deserve some bonus points, really, don't you? Because you called that as well. You said you thought Usman was going to win with the striking.
Yeah, to be fair, when I was imagining it, I expected him to hold him against the cage, break and knock him out against the cage.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to do it in the middle of the cage.
Have you seen how Masvidal lost in Japan back in the day? This is what I mean about Trevor Whitman. Is probably one of the best game planners, along with Greg Jackson in the business. He kind of throws that throwaway left hook, Usman, and he pulls Masvidal's hand down. So he throws the throwaway left hook, pulls it down, and then comes over the top with the right.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same way Masvidal's been sparked clean out before.
I haven't seen that.
Early on in his career, yeah. They do a side-by-side video. I think it might have been on Ted Diallo's podcast, maybe. They do a side-by-side video, and it just literally looks like exactly the same sequence.
Yeah, it was so impressive. Obviously, Zhang Weili versus Rose. We all went for Weili. We all got that one wrong. It was the only one we all got wrong on that. Obviously, you got 6 out of 7, but we all got that one wrong. Head kick knockout.
We all rose off there, but I think I feel a bit daft because you look back on her and like what she did to Joanna, like two wars of her, and then we all said that maybe she isn't really capable of performing at that level with Zhang Weili. I think that's when she steps up, isn't it? And she looks so good, like that. Then that like lead leg head kick is like, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, is it?
No, it was good. Have you got anything on that?
To that? No, I think the same thing with Rose. I think what it was with me more is a mental state. You know, she's not always there, and I thought maybe she just didn't have that mental tenacity, and obviously I was proven wrong, wasn't I? She almost comes across as vulnerable sometimes. I remember I touched on her jokingly, but said, oh, you just want to baby her sometimes. And I thought that might, do you know what I mean? And Whaley's a killer, but she's got something right now in her camp.
We've seen it, though. Like I don't know if you remember the Conor McGregor bus incident. Obviously, you remember that. But Rose was like, saying that she was like in a bad way after that, and it really scared her and stuff. And I remember thinking at the time, like, relax a little bit. Yeah. Like, it's not that.
Got a chair from the bus. You know,
that might have been for compensation purposes, yeah. Also, though.
Yeah. Try getting a bus through Sheffield City Centre at night. Like, that stuff happens all the time. You know what I mean? When they don't let spices on bus. You know what I mean? Killing chairs at bus.
Like getting school bus out, like, yeah. Fireworks going off.
Yeah. Obviously, Shevchenko had a good performance. I don't think we need to get into that, really. She just looked amazing and proved why she's the best. Uriah Hall versus Chris Wyman. Fucking disgusting.
No, man, I know. It was hard to watch.
It's just
that.
Insane that it was Chris Wyman. That it happened with Anderson Silva.
The MMA gods are so fickle, aren't they? Like, it's like you say, it's like a movie, isn't it? Like, for it to happen in exactly the same manner as well. Just coming in through the naked calf kick.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see, though, in the post-fight interview, Uriah Hall was saying he did it to one of his teammates as well. So with the same thing, check the leg kick, and his teammate snapped his leg as well.
Why were they
so
sparring about shinies?
They probably were wearing shinies, I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't just check it. If you watched, planted his front foot and moved into the kick.
Yeah.
So he moved his knee towards it. So it was even worse than just checking.
You know what it is, though? It's when, so if you're checking the kick, so if you check it close to your knee, because that's the widest part of your tibia, and then when you throw the leg kick and you land it in the middle, which is the weakest part, the thinnest part, and so it's just like the biomechanics, isn't it, of the, you know, your weakest part hitting their strongest part. Yeah, like, that's why it snapped. So yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. But it turns out it sounds like it's worse than the Anderson leg break, because when he stepped back, apparently the bone of his leg bone pierced his calf muscle as well.
You can see it happening, because for a second he doesn't recognize, because it happens so fast. He almost doesn't recognize that he's broke his leg. Like you say, he goes to stand on it like he would normally, and that's when obviously there's nothing supporting it, and it caused some pretty gruesome injuries, didn't it? Bless him.
Of course it is. Yeah, yeah, horrible. But to bring us back up a little bit, obviously we're recording this on May 9th. Sunday, last night, there was Bellator on, there was UFC on. Rumble's return after 5 or 6 years out. Watching it, I mean, the highlight looks amazing, but I watched the full fight this afternoon and he doesn't look like the old Rumble. The guy he fought, obviously, looked like he broke his hand quite early on, and then he fought Rumble for about 5 or 6 minutes with one hand, nearly finished him as well with his left hand. Very reminiscent of the Rich Franklin sort of Chuck Liddell fight. He didn't quite get the finish. Rumble survived and managed to get him sort of halfway through or towards the end of the second. I don't know if you've had time to watch. I think you've watched that, y'all.
Yeah, I watched the fight. I think the main thing I thought Rumble looked quite small, because he was always like a big light heavyweight, weren't he? Like very physical. And I think he looked like he had quite heavy hands, and you know, he was moving forward a lot. But at the same time, he looked smaller than the other kid, didn't he? And you could tell. You know, he wasn't looking like super potent, was he, in terms of, like, you know, having that dynamite in his hands. And
He looked very similar to, did you ever see him face Vitor Belfort at middleweight and he missed weight? He looked that's when he made his light heavyweight move after that. But he got cut from the UFC after that fight, because Vitor won. I think he missed weight by about 7 pounds. But he looked very similar physique-wise to that fight.
You've got to think as well, Rumble retired from MMA and tried to get into the bodybuilding world. He's basically openly admitted on the Brendan Schaub show, on the Food Truck Diaries, that obviously when what goes hand in hand with bodybuilding, to compete in bodybuilding, you have to take substances.
Yeah,
it's not really the same when you take it for bodybuilding purposes, because you're not hurting another human being. It's accepted that it's part of it.
Just try to get as big as possible.
But when you come off steroids, obviously your natural testosterone is going to shut down. So is he ever going to hit that? And he's not a young man either. So is he ever going to hit that same level of athleticism?
No, 37 now.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So he's not. His body's already going to be slowing down with the testosterone. And is he recovering right? Is he ever going to be as big and athletic as he was?
Yeah. He's put his body through some amazing things. Obviously, all the cuts to welterweight. Mm. And then obviously taking all those steroids to become a bodybuilder and get so big. And now he's back down to what looks more like a middleweight frame. It's going to be a tough test, Nemkov, for him next in the semi-final.
I think he's going to struggle, though, because you see him, like, you know, when he was in the UFC, he was so tenacious, weren't he? He was moving forward, had big overhands, shooting doubles and that. And there was none of that, was there, you know, last night. And seeing he paused for a second, didn't he? So he got the pick against the cage, had that high guard, and he just stopped for a second. And that's when he got dropped, didn't he? He got clipped and got dropped.
Yeah.
So I think that was a late replacement, weren't it? So starts fighting, like, say, like Nemkov and like the other guys on the other side of the competition. Like, he's going to struggle, isn't he?
Yeah.
The thing is, as well, though, we've got to take the ring rust as a massive factor in anything, in any sport. So maybe he's got that out of his, maybe the little mental block, he's got that out, and maybe he comes back in the next fight. But
like the next fight's tough, though.
Mate, Nemkov is an animal. He's an animal. But talking about Nemkov, we're on the subject of Nemkov. Do you know who beat Nemkov last? My favourite fighter, my new favourite fighter, Yuri Prochazka, which slides us nicely into the next topic.
Yeah, obviously beat Reyes last weekend.
What are you more impressed by, the performance or the haircut?
I just think everything about him is a superstar. I remember watching the first time I seen him, didn't know anything about him, to be fair, I didn't really watch Rising. I watched it at Sam's house, and I just remember me and Sam just in hysterics at this guy, like, just an absolute maniac.
Flailing around.
Yeah.
But effectively.
Flailing. Yeah. Showboating, got wobbled, still fights with his hands down. He's like recovering with his hands by his side, still dancing around. Like, yeah, he's an animal.
I think you see him, though. He's a true martial artist. I'm watching a video clip of like maybe a 2-minute video, and he's just there, like, you know, shadow boxing in a cage. And his balance, you know, like throwing head kicks, like shooting. His balance is amazing. And I think like that just translates to power in the cage, doesn't it? And, you know, you're going to be causing damage from all angles.
Yeah.
You know, he's the real deal, isn't he? No joke.
The thing that impressed me most is the way, obviously with the spinning elbow that actually connected was incredible. But it's the way he threw away the first spinning elbow to land to land the spinning elbow. Like he threw the first elbow, like you just like throw away a hook. Like purposely, like kind of went past, missed it, and then just landed the spinning elbow. And I just thought, like, that level of thinking in that, when he's already been hit hard as well in that fight, like, I just thought that level of thinking in was just incredible, like, proper cerebral martial arts.
It's wide open, that division, as well, at the minute.
Yeah,
obviously, you've got Glover fighting for the title, which is insane in 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone can get knocked out, though, can't they? I mean, look at Dominic Reyes, like, his rise to, you know, fighting John Jones, and then now.
Three-fight losing streak, isn't
it? That's it, yeah, exactly. I think they're all, obviously, they've all got power, haven't they? You know, and they're all, like, very athletic, aren't they, as well? So, you know, anything can happen in these fights. Like, Reyes, he looked dangerous in that fight, didn't he? And then got caught a few times. I think got his nose broke, didn't he? And you see, like, he was waning a little bit. And then, yeah, he's got caught with that big combo, didn't he? And, yeah.
Do you think losing the John Jones fight when, arguably, he believed he won, do you think that played a mental thing? Like, we've talked about this. You mentioned, Ian, about Golovkin against Canelo. When you've won the fight, you know you've won the fight in your own head, or believe you have,
yep,
and you haven't. Does it affect you going forward? Do you think, well, what's the point?
Maybe. I did listen to an interview of his before the fight, so it weren't an excuse, obviously, before the Yuri fight. Reyes interview. And he was saying, like, at the time when he fought Blachowicz, like, his life was just a mess. He wasn't nice to people around him. And it was quite interesting to listen to him, because he was saying he just hated it, hated himself, hated his life. He wasn't doing it out of passion anymore. He was just doing it for the sake of doing it. But then he said he was reinvigorated for this fight. So it weren't making an excuse before this, or after this, sorry. But obviously he's lost still. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. So just quickly, obviously UFC was this weekend as well. Waterson versus Rodriguez. Cerrone fought on there. Neil versus Magny. Obviously we had a good chat before we started this podcast, as we always do. We spent about 15 minutes just unloading on what we thought about this weekend, and now then start the podcast.
No, but again, I'm going to touch on it. I know we talked about it before. It's the Gillespie fight. Gregor Gillespie, who I like, is like one of my man crushes at the minute. I just think he's a beast. Like I think because he's a small lightweight like me. He could very easily go to feather. Short dude, and just like such phenomenal wrestling. Like,
you know, I was amazed by his performance.
Tenacity was incredible.
That were a difficult matchup for him. I think fighting Diego Ferreira, I think he shines in all the areas where Gillespie struggles. So with the stand-up battle, he was getting lit up on the feet, weren't he? You could tell he was badly rocked, struggling to get the single leg and just holding down, weren't he? And eventually, I think, his heart just shone through, didn't it? And he got the win by ground and pound. I thought very, very impressive.
Ferreira looked about 15 pounds heavier as well, so it's hard to take down a big man. And he was doing as I mentioned before, doing what you do so well, Ian, which is the minute it hit the mat, what you need to do against a wrestler is instantly throw up a sub or start creating a scramble, like Damian Maia did against Baskin.
He didn't actually want any of those subs. He used the sub attack to create space to then try and get back up.
Exactly the same as Maia did against Askren. It's exactly the same thing. Like, we're even going for the leg attacks. And yeah, at one stage he went for some kind of leg attack and ended up taking his back off it. And yeah.
They were going for leg locks, weren't they? Loads of leg locks, weren't they?
It was like an amazing first round.
Yeah. And I think if you like grappling, and especially, like, you know, to see like two high level grapplers scrambling like that, you're like,
If you've got a spare 10 minutes, I listened to it earlier. I had to listen to it before I watched the fight. But listen to Gregor's post-fight interview. Mm. It's really interesting to listen to him. He's an interesting guy. He was saying like how zoned in he is, and they had a bit of a laugh about fishing. Apparently Connor tweeted something about he's the king of fishing or something. It sounded quite a good interview. I really enjoyed listening to him. It seems like he's just incredibly sort of strong-willed. And even he was saying, like, I haven't won for 2 years. I haven't fought for 2 years. I didn't even know if I could still do this. And he's Gregor Gillespie. Yeah. So it just shows you that everyone, even at a high level, has doubts about themselves and stuff. So it's a really good interview.
I could give that a little listen to tonight, I think.
It is worth it. So let's get into UFC 262 then, because we're closing 15 minutes, or we're into 15 minutes in already. This is what we're going to do. So we've got 7 fights for UFC 262 we're going to predict. As always, 7 prediction points on the most confident one you're on, down to 1 which you're least confident on. We've had a bit of a switch around because the champ has decided he wants to talk about...
Grundy said, didn't
he? Matt Grundy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I said that better than that Antonina Shevchenko.
I was like, shall we talk about the younger Shevchenko sister, I think she is? You're not impressed by her now?
I don't actually know if she's younger or older. we did say less talented, though, didn't we? I think we agreed on that.
I mean, it's hard to not... You're not gonna...
The disrespect is real. Isn't it?
I know.
He's changed since he got that belt. He's changed.
All the egos coming out. But no, I did say, obviously, Mike Grundy like the British, so I said, you know, we should stick that one in there.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into him then. So this is what we're going to do. So... Obviously, we'll do the same as last time. So, Musa, you'll go first, then I'll, and then I'll go. We've got first fight, Lando Venata, 11-5-2, against Mike Grundy, 12-2. Musa, who have you got?
Okay. Just to check, this fight is happening at featherweight. Is Lando Venata coming down, or is Mike Grundy going up?
It's featherweight, yeah.
Okay, so Lando Venata, because I remember he fought Mark Diakese, didn't he, and lost. Yeah, I've got Mike Grundy in this one. I just think... Mike Grundy's got elite wrestling. In terms of pure wrestling credentials, in British MMA, out of all the British guys, he's head and shoulders above everyone else. He's got a Commonwealth silver medal, I believe. He's actually Darren Till's wrestling coach at Carlbon.
Right, right.
Yeah. So he's come over as actually a pure freestyle wrestler. So yeah, I think he just got too much for him on the ground. I think he probably just takes him down and mauls him. Should he come in? I know he's had a lot of trouble with injuries recently. He hasn't been super active over the last couple of years. So hopefully he gets a good run together. I'd quite like to see him against some of the top American wrestlers just to see how he stacks up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd love to see like how the best British wrestler does against, do you know what I mean? Against the top American guy. But yeah, so I'm going for Grundy in this one and I'm putting 3 points. I'm quite confident on the Brit.
3 points on Mike Grundy. So all, who have you got?
Adam, same. So I went Mike Grundy. I think looking the way he fights, he's wrestling, you know, I think he's wrestling very high level, isn't it? And I think what he does well off of it as well, got good jiu-jitsu out of it, so got a few, you know, like solid chokes out of it, which he can use well. I think where he does struggle is, you know, if he tries to be, you know, the stand-up fighter, the boxer, see him, like when he lost his last fight, and he's trading shot for shot there, isn't he? So, you know, that's when he struggles a bit, but I think he'll go to his base, he'll do what he's good at. So I put 2 points on Mike Grundy there.
So 2 prediction points on Mike Grundy. So, it's a tough one, this. Lando Venata, even though he's been in the UFC quite a bit longer than Mike Grundy, he's actually 5 years younger. He's 29 years old. Mike Grundy's 34. Lando Venata's 2-2-1 in his last 5. Grundy's 1-1 in the UFC, so he's only had 2 UFC fights. First UFC fight was March 2019. He got a win. Fought last year, got a loss. So, it's 2 years sort of since he won his UFC debut. Again, it is featherweight, so it sounds like he's coming down in weight, I believe. But I'm going to go the opposite way to you two on this one. I think Lando Venata is going to use his experience in the UFC to try and get this win here. And it seems like he's had a couple more fights, even though Grundy's got a better record. I'm not very confident, so I'm going to go 1 prediction point on Lando Venata. I just think he might just edge him, that's all. I know he's our countryman, but yeah. looking at it logically, I just feel like Venata might have a bigger chance in this one.
I wasn't super confident, to be fair. And I think there's quite a few that I could have probably picked 1 point on this.
Yeah, it's a really tough card.
I'm not confident on any of these, really. Well, maybe 1 or 2 later on in the card. We'll talk about that when we get to them.
Yeah, it's a really tough card. So, this is meant to be the main event of the prelims. The next fight, Jacare Souza, 26-9, against Andre Muniz, 20-4. Musa, who have you got?
I've gone for Jacare.
Gone for Jacare?
Just because I'm a massive fanboy. I love him, mate. I remember, like, I've always been a massive Jacare fan. I know he's had some losses recently, but I'd like to think he pulls it out of the bag this time. I just think, obviously, in terms of pure jiu-jitsu, he's probably one of the best jiu-jitsu players to ever come into MMA.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, they used to talk about the golden three in jiu-jitsu being Marcelo Garcia, Roger Gracie, and Jacare. And they all tried to come into MMA, but out of the three, Jacare, by far and away, has become the most well-rounded MMA fighter.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to... I think he subs him. I think he winds the clock back, and I think he subs him. And I'm going to go 4 points.
Four prediction points on Souza.
On the crocodile.
On the crocodile. Right then, so all who have you got?
I went same as well. I went Jacare. I just think when you look at Jacare and look at Munez, who is also like a jiu-jitsu-based MMA fighter, also from Brazil as well. I just think that, you know, jiu-jitsu is one of those skills where, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. How old is Jacare now?
Jacare's 41.
41 now, so... Jiu-jitsu was one of them. You know, if he was a boxer or something, you'd think, well, you know, he probably had his lot now. But I think, you know, the jiu-jitsu guy, you know, you don't lose your strength, yeah, and he looks good. He looked good against Holland, and he got knocked out by that, you know, wild, you know, looping right hand.
Off his back, yeah. Just crazy.
Exactly. And
then, that would never happen again. If he fought 10 times, that probably wouldn't happen again.
And it's the kind of thing that I think he won't feel that comfortable if he's in someone's guard again either. So he wouldn't let it happen because he'd be like, you know, all the way up or all the way down.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big one. And then you look at he lost to Blachowicz by a split decision, and he lost the decision to Hermansson. So I think just off the back of them both being jiu-jitsu based fighters, I think Jacare's, particularly MMA jiu-jitsu, I think will, you know, be so much higher level. So I put 7 points on that.
Prediction points on Jacare.
That's bold by the champ. I told you we're all going to have different picks.
You've got to make bold moves to win this belt.
You know?
Who dares wins, you know?
Yeah. So for myself, Souza's 1-4 in his last five. Although he has two split decisions against Blachowicz and Gastelum, which are obviously no chumps. Obviously Hermansson as well. My only argument would be, I don't think that he got knocked out of his back like a fluke punch. I think Jacare is just not the Jacare that... I remember him facing Masasi, and I've always been a big Gegard Mousasi fan. I remember that fight, and the fear on Mousasi's face as that fight continued. And you just couldn't get him off him. He was just drowning him. He was so close. And if you watch all his earlier fights, there was no space. He'd just suffocate people and drag them down and finish him with a sub. Obviously, he got the big KO against Okami. I remember that one. And that's when everyone was like, this guy's going to be the world champion. I am a Souza fan, but I think it's over for him. I think he's about to fall off. And whether this is his last fight or not, I'm not sure. At 41 years old, getting knocked out... from a guy off his back when Souza's the jiu-jitsu guy, it was just crazy to watch. I think he's getting a bit slower. I think he's still a great fighter. But you look at Andre Muniz, he's on a 6-fight win streak. He's only had 2 UFC fights. He won them both. 31 years old. The odds makers have got Jacare as the favourite at -125. Muniz is a +105. But I'm going to go with the underdog on this one. I'm going to go with Muniz. I think he's younger. 6-fight win streak. I think it's a passing over of the guard. I'm going to go 5 prediction points on Muniz.
Say what? Did you watch any of Muniz's jiu-jitsu fights? Yeah,
I haven't watched his jiu-jitsu fights.
He had some no-gi ones in like IBJJF, and I watched those. I thought the way he's like quite traditional, like, you know, going for a bit of leg locks and that. And I just don't think that like. That compares with like, you know, like your MMA jiu-jitsu.
It doesn't.
You know, very good at. So
it depends if it goes. It depends if it goes to the ground. Obviously, Donald Cerrone just tapped RDA in a grappling competition, then got knocked out by Moreno this weekend. So it doesn't really. It doesn't matter.
Sports, you're right. So. It does definitely. Yeah. Change the dimension, doesn't it, when you can hit him?
But rule of thumb usually is, apart from Dominic Cruz recently. These guys that are slipping off, these older guys that are falling off, and you've got these guys rising with decent win streaks like Muniz, usually doesn't go their favour, the older guy. But you never know. Souza's may be the exception to the rule. He hits hard. He's got amazing jiu-jitsu. So next fight, we've got Shane Burgos, 13-2, against Edson Barboza, 21-9 at featherweight. Musa, who have you got?
I think this could be an absolute war, this one. It's a tough fight to pick. I love Barboza, and I think he's a beast at featherweight. Who was it? Who did he fight? Was it Dan Ige? Why did you say
the Ige?
Ige. I thought he got robbed in that fight. Me, I don't know about you guys. I thought that
there's
was
a,
like
a there's a couple
a borderline robbery. Hopefully, he's not too discouraged from that. And I think I watched Burgos's fight against Josh Emmett. And if Burgos fights Barboza, how he fights Emmett, he's gonna get badly messed up. He like walks straight into the buzzsaw against Emmett. He was like walking forward. If he tries to do that against Barboza, he's gonna get his legs kicked to bits. I think he's going to have to have like a he's going to have to take him down, have shown an elite grappling game, or have drastically improved his footwork and become a totally new striker in that time, which I don't see happening. I think Barboza wins this one. I think he probably TKOs him in the first two. But again, I say all this, I've only got 1 point on him. Barboza, yeah. 1 point.
Yeah. But you used your 1 point already, haven't you?
I get it. It's such a tough card, this one.
Yeah. And you know what the thing is? You can see the fight going either way. But I went the same way. So I picked Barboza as well. And I'm a big fan of Jane Burgos. Saw him fighting Josh Emmett. He's like just a wild guy, isn't he? And he just, you know, like throwing reckless abandon.
Yeah.
And you can't do that to Emmett. And he was getting caught badly against Emmett. And I think Barboza is a lot more explosive than Josh Emmett. And I think he's more technically sound as well. Like Emmett just, you know, like he just lets them big overhands go, doesn't he? But Barboza is like, you know, he's probably the best straight like kickboxer, Thai boxer in the division, you might say. So I just think with that, I think, you know, he's still pretty much in his prime, isn't he? He's what, 33, 34 years old?
Barboza.
Yeah.
35, yeah.
35, is he? So, you know, he's still got some miles on him, hasn't he? And I just think that he's too confident, and I think that he's going to get himself clipped, and, you know, it's going to happen, isn't it? You know, especially against a guy like Barboza.
Possibly.
He's a wild man, like you say. I think we both thought exactly the same thing then. if he comes in as the same guy that fought Josh Emmett and fights the same way, then yeah.
But you got to think, depends. Barboza's not the guy to do that to. And,
you
know, you look Khabib would disagree, because he just walked him down.
Yeah. That is very true.
Yeah, but Shane Burgos got the grappling hard.
Against a kicker, you have to push him back. You don't stand still or move backwards against a kicker.
Yeah.
You have to push a kicker back.
But Barboza's not just a kicker, though.
I'm just
I know what you're saying.
He's got very good takedown defence as well, hasn't he? Which I think, again, with someone like him, you either clinch him or just put him on his back, haven't you? That's like the safest place you can be with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see, like, the kind of guys that he fought, you know, like Ige, Felder. I do give it to Barboza. I think he's at a higher level, and I think he's still, like, a prime athlete, you know. So
how many points?
Put 3 points on Barboza.
3 points on Barboza. So if this was at lightweight, I think I'd pick Barboza, but it's not. It's at featherweight, and I don't like him at featherweight. I think he's sucked himself down too much, a little bit like Jose Aldo. I think some of that power that he's got in his kicks has diminished a little bit because he's done such a big weight cut for such a big guy. Burgos is 3-2 in his last five, but the two losses he's got against Calvin Kattar and Josh Emmett, which are top five guys in that division. They're absolute killers. Barboza's 2-3 in his last five. Two of those losses were split decisions, so it could easily be 4-1 instead of 2-3. I just don't like Barboza at featherweight. ESPN's got Burgos as a favourite at -125, with Barboza as an underdog at +105, so it's very close.
Yeah, I saw that on Paddy Power as well. I was surprised that Barboza wasn't a favourite.
I'm not very confident in this, but similar to the one before, I feel like I've got a bit of a theme going off at the minute. Burgos is 30 years old in his prime. I think he is surging, even though he's coming off a loss. Barboza's 35, he's took a lot of damage. I'm going to go with the favourite in this. I'm going to go with Shane Burgos for 2 prediction points. Next fight. Caitlin Chikagian, 15-4, versus Vivian Araújo, 10-2. Musa, who have you got?
I think Chikagian takes this one. I think it has potential to be a really good fight. I just think the way Araújo fights, it's very much like she's more of a brawler. She's an excellent striker, but she's definitely more of a brawler, whereas Chikagian's an expert at like managing distance. She's got a really good jab. I think she landed like 50 jabs or something in the last fight. Like just, and her footwork's incredible. Got really crisp boxing. Against Alexis Davis and Montana De La Rosa, like a perfect example. Like the way she managed the range, just didn't let them get going at all. Just used that jab really effectively. I just think that she's going to be too much for Araújo. I think Araújo's going to try and turn it into a brawl. I think her chance of victory is going to be how like Andrade beat Chikagian, didn't she?
Yeah.
And like, you know, by swarming her, turn it into a bit of a brawl.
She's obviously got that power on Andrade.
Yeah. I don't know if Araújo's got the power to threaten Chikagian. And I don't think she's the same caliber fighter as Andrade, either, to be fair. I think in this one, Chikagian utilizes superior footwork and just does enough to do. I think she just jabs her head off all day, to be fair. I'm going to go 6 points on Chikagian.
6 on Chikagian. So
fighting talk there, fighting talk.
So, oh, who have you got?
I went the other way, to be honest with you. I went the other way. So, Chikagian, I think the last fight against Jessica Andrade, was the second to last fight. And she got stopped with like, quite a big body shot, didn't she? And she had like, such a severe reaction to it.
Yeah, she did.
And I think that like says a lot about someone, like, you know, getting the body shots. And I know it's not nice, but at the same time, I think she
I would argue, though, that Andrade is the exception in that division to body shots.
Yeah, I know you're saying like she's a powerhouse, isn't she? She's a little powerhouse, but
yeah.
At the same time, I just feel that like, I feel that Arujo, I think she's more comfortable on her feet. She applies a lot of pressure, and I don't think that Chikagian is going to like that pressure being applied. And you know, I think she's more scrappier and she's more up for the fight than what Arujo is. So for that reason, I put 6 points on Arujo. So
6 on Arujo.
Wow.
So me and you might be fighting over this fight, you know, the results.
So let me throw my 2 pence in here then. So I'm going to put my maximum points on this one. It's one of the biggest favourites on the card. Not only that, Caitlin Chikagian's 3-2 in her last 5, which doesn't sound great, but the 2 losses are against the champion Valentina Shevchenko and Jessica Andrade, who just fought for the belt. Everyone else she destroys. She's got a 12-centimetre height advantage. She's so much bigger than Arujo. So much bigger. Although Arujo, she's 4-1 in the last 5, with the last 3 being decision. And even though she's won, I'm looking at that, I'm looking, she's winning by decision. And I don't know if you can sort of decision someone like Chikagian. I think if you don't put her away, she will finish you. Or she'll at least get a decision. She's an absolute beast, Chikagian. I think she's arguably the third best fighter in that division. Underneath Valentina and Andrade, maybe. ESPN's got Chikagian's a -140 favourite, with Vivian as a +120 underdog. One of the bigger ones on the card.
Still very close odds then, aren't they?
Still very close. I'm going to go with the favourite. I'm going to go with Chikagian for 7 prediction points. I'm very confident in this one.
I'm surprised that we all went big on this fight.
Yeah.
Pretty much all went big, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So you went big in the wrong direction.
So, next fight, middleweight.
I was getting worried then, sorry, because me and you were just picking the same thing all the way through, and I was like, I can't catch you, but... you're going to agree with my head.
I've gone opposite.
You've gone opposite, but me and Oz are having the same guys all the way through here. I was like,
no. There's still a few to go yet. So we've got Jack Hermanson, 21-6, against Edmund Shabazian, 11-1. Musa, who have you got?
I'm going big or going home on this one.
Yeah?
My swan's getting my 7 points on this.
Oh-ho!
Yeah, I'm going for Jack Hermanson. To me, he's one of the best guys in the division. Now, I know Shabazian's an amazing prospect. I just think currently, and this is going to be a bit of a theme with the rest of the fights for me, it's where they are at currently. And you know, when it's someone's time, I just think Hermanson's 9 years older. Shabazian's only 23, which is very, very young in this game. I think Hermanson's got too much for him. He's an aggressive striker. He likes to pour the pressure on. And his grappling's actually incredible. His guillotine specifically, and the way he hits the guillotine, once he locks it up, no one's getting out of that. And I actually have bet against him before when he fought Gaslam, remember? I think I went on Gaslam, didn't I?
He footlocked him in the first round.
And I thought, I can't be, you know what I mean? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So this time I'm going for Jack Hermanson and I'm going to lump on him. He's getting all 7 of my points.
7 points.
Oh. Seven nuggets on Hermanson.
So all who have you got and how many points?
I went the same way. So I went Hermanson. And I think this is a big ask for Shabazian, to be totally honest with you. Coming off a loss to Derek Brunson, and they've just thrown Jack Hermanson at him. I thought he's a bit harsher than the UFC to do that for him. And you know, Hermanson, if you look at who he's fought as well, you know, he's up there, and he's you know, the top 5 guy in that division. And to say like Brunson, like he quite viciously beat Shabazian as well, didn't he? It wasn't a 2-way fight, you know. So I don't think he's quite there yet. You know, he's very young. He's training with that what's he called? That Edmund his coach called? London's old coach, isn't it?
Tavarian.
Yeah. And again,
numpty, to be fair.
Exactly.
To be fair, he might have good head movement now though.
Yeah. Head movement.
We will see. But you know, he's more of a boxing coach than an MMA coach, isn't he? And I don't see how Shabazian beats him. He's got some decent kicks on him, hasn't he? But I think that Hermanson makes it look quite easy. Put 5 points on Hermanson. maybe I should have gone for seven.
So five on Hermansson. For me, I'm in agreement with both of you. Hermansson, I mean, he's not an old guy. He's only 32. But Shabazzian's 23 years old. He's a young guy.
Very young. At that but, weight as well.
Yeah. But before his last fight, before he fought Brunson, and obviously it didn't go his way at all, he was 11-0, undefeated. That was his last loss. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes off this fight. He might be better than ever, and he might be the next big prospect in this division. Manson's 3-2, but his two losses were against Candonier and Vettori, who's fighting for the belt next. So that's high-level guys at that weight class. They don't come much... There's not many much better than them two. Like I say, Edmund's coming off his first loss, but the 11 wins he's got 10 finishes out of 11 wins. So he is a finishing machine. ESPN's got Hermansson at a -155 favourite, with Shabazzian at a +135. I'm going to agree with both of you, and I'm going to agree with ESPN. I'm going to go 4 prediction points on Hermansson.
Sell out, agreeing with ESPN now.
I'm trying to
think about the little man.
I want that ESPN money. I want a sponsorship.
Yeah. I can see you've been mentioning them an awful lot this podcast.
I'm adding it in. I'm trying to add a few more layers in. We're evolving. So, co-main event. At lightweight, we've got Tony Ferguson, 26-5, against Beneil Dariush, 24-1. Musu, who have you got?
I think I really want to be wrong about this one. Well, I don't actually, because I want to win that belt. I'm all like, fuck Tony Ferguson.
All about winning. They'll say that.
I just think... don't say that. I got upset then.
Yeah. Okay, Tony Ferguson is a real G. Yeah.
We'll see on your predictions.
Yeah, we'll see how much you love him, yeah, when it comes down to it. All right, just absolutely abuse Shevchenko in that. Right? Say she's shit, but yeah, Ferguson's a G. No.
Wrong words, that means,
I do. No, I'm only joking. I love Tony Ferguson, one of my favourite fighters of all time. I just think we've probably already seen the best Tony Ferguson. His style and the way he's fought has been conducive to making money and being entertaining, but it's not been conducive to longevity, has it? He's been in a lot of wars, and Beneil Dariush is... Well, we talked about when he fought Ferreira, like, them two guys...
They could be top five in the next
year.
Yeah,
and Dariush just seems to be getting better and better. He's got it all. His grappling's unreal. He's with the right management team as well, to be fair, even though I don't like him. I think Dariush could be on the verge of a big push here. Say he beats Ferguson, I think he's right up there in the mix. I'd like to see him fight Islam Makhachev. I think that'd be a beast fight.
Makhachev maybe, or Gaethje or something.
Yeah.
Especially now Gaethje's sort of being exposed with his grappling and wrestling.
Yeah. I think Dariush beats Gaethje.
I think without going into it, obviously, because it's your picks at the minute, I think most of that top five beat Gaethje now, because everyone's been scared of his wrestling. Then they've realised that there's quite holes there, to be honest.
He hasn't wrestled for, like, since he left school, like, since he left college. Right?
It was rough watching him just get mounted.
But he got to a title shot on rumours, though, didn't he? Yeah. The rumours were always like, Gaethje is the best defensive wrestler ever, but he don't use it.
He's getting taken down in his next fight, regardless of who it is. Dan Hooker who's getting taken down. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
For real. But yeah, anyway, back to where we were. No, that's all right. That's what we're all about, rabbiting on. I've gone Dariush 5 points, mate. I think
5 points on Dariush.
But I hope Tony Ferguson comes back and is the old Tony Ferguson.
You'd love to see it.
I just feel like, look at the walls he's taken, mate. He's been beaten conclusively in two different manners as well. He got absolutely battered and twatted all over the place by Gaethje. And then he got absolutely mauled and just babied and big brothered by...
He was finished in that Oliveira fight as well. Yeah, bell saved him in the armbar.
Oh, mate. The
armbar fucked up though, didn't it? In that, it
yeah, like, but the bell went.
Yeah. But I don't think it did save him though, because he definitely got injured, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, but that, you know, yeah, I mean, it would have been
saved from some, yeah.
That guy will never fight there, will he? That's in his,
No. So all of you got, and how many points?
I can't bet against Ferguson. Can't bet against Ferguson. I love telling him.
You're a real one though, because he said it and then he stepped up and he did so.
I did. You know, I went for Ferguson. You know what? I think, you know, he's been training with Freddie Roach, and he's always the hardest working guy. And, you know, people say about Tony Ferguson, he goes out in the countryside, doesn't he? Builds his own gym and that every fight camp, and he just outworks people.
It's questionable though if some of his tactics are the right choice though.
Yeah, I think maybe he needs a proper coach. Yeah. You know, like a Greg Jackson or a Trevor Whitman. That's going to sit in on a game.
It's like, I've been doing hill sprints for 6 hours and I feel like going, is that necessary?
Yeah. Is that really good for a 15-minute fight? Yeah. I know what you mean, but, you know, I do think, like, you know, he's got the ability to take damage and he's got the ability to come back and he'll always give it twice as hard as he gets it. And I think even against when he had the Gaethje fight, I think anyone other than Justin Gaethje would have been knocked out in that fight because, you know what I mean, the amount of damage that he landed. Obviously, with Charles Oliveira, I think, me personally, I think Oliveira is one of those, you know, he's such an underrated fighter that, you know, I think, again, he'd have done that to a lot of people. So, I have gone for Ferguson. I think, you know, Beneil Dariush, he's not really fought that top level of competition. So, there still is a bit of a, you know, you'd say he's, you know, bit of a maybe prospect still. Even, you know, he's a bit older. He's not a lot. He's 36, is he, I think?
He's 32.
He's 32. He's had a hard paper on, hasn't he?
Grey hair and everything, yeah.
yeah. But, you know, I do a big fan of Beneil Dariush. But, you know, this is definitely a step up in competition for him as well, isn't it? So, you know, I'm hoping that Ferguson get the job done. I've got 4 points on Tony.
Four on Tony. So, for me, on this podcast, there's a few lightweights that we seem to have a big crush on. And Dariush is one of them.
Isn't it?
We've got Diego Ferreira. We've got Beneil Dariush. We've now got Gregor Gillespie. There's a few that, even with Ferreira on a two-fight losing streak, I feel like I talk about Ferreira too much on here. Mm. But I still think he could be a top guy within the next 12 months. He's a monster. And for Beneil to get a split decision over him, I honestly think Dariush is now in his prime. He's 32. He's got a couple of losses out of his way. He's 24-1. Not only that, Tony, I do feel like he's slipping. I don't want him to, but 37 years old, coming off his first two losses in his career. He's obviously 0-2 in his last two, but before that, he was on a 12-fight win streak, Ferguson. People forget, we did an episode about the greatest fighters in each weight class.
Yeah.
And I think we had Ferguson at 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I think he was 3, but...
Yeah, I think that could be BJ and him, Ferguson, didn't we?
Yeah, even though he's never had the main belt, he's had the interim belt, but he was amazing. Dariush is on a 6-fight win streak. And within those 6 fights, he's got 2 subs, 2 KOs, and 2 decisions. So he's got a varied way of winning. He can take his time, he can knock you out, and he can sub you. I wouldn't be surprised if he does sub Ferguson in this.
Ferguson will never tap. Ever tap.
And if chokes him out, they'll sleep.
Yeah.
Very true.
Ferguson's a beast.
ESPN's got this down as Dariush is a -152 favourite, and Ferguson's a +125.
It's getting very, very close odds, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, though, I am going to have to go with the favourite in this. I'm going to agree with Musa. I'm going to go Dariush for 6 prediction points. Mm. I think he's about to move into the top 5. I think his next fight's going to be a big fight. Maybe Gaethje. Main event time. So we've gone on a little bit. We're having a good chat, obviously. I've got some editing to do these next few days. But main event time. So for the vacant UFC lightweight championship, we've got Charles de Bronx, Oliveira, 30-8 against Iron Mike Chandler, 22-5. Musa, who have you got?
Well, we're talking about man crushes, weren't we? And is there a man that I've got a bigger man crush on than Michael Chandler? Like, you probably heard me wax lyrical about him on this podcast numerous times. He's like proper. To me, as a fighter, he's everything that you look for in a fighter and as a human being. Like, I just think he's just an incredible athlete. He's one of the hardest working guys you'll know. He's just such a good person as well from what you can see of him. Obviously, I don't know him on a personal level. Like, we don't chat about maybe one day. If you're listening, Mike, hit us up on DMs. We'll chat him.
I'm sure you're already in his DMs.
Yeah. You up? No, I just think right now, again, the theme about being at the right time, and I know Oliveira is a favourite, and I have a feeling YouTube probably gone for him, but I just think the stars are aligning for Michael Chandler right now. He's come over, he's always been that thing, can he do it in the UFC? Can he beat you? Saw the test. He's come over, I picked him to smash Dan Hooker, he blasted through Hooker, and I just think, plus he's a short horse like me, and I just love seeing. If he wins a world title, I can turn around to Sam and say, I don't have to cut to featherweight. I'm fine as I am at lightweight. At 5'7".
But you're like a hairier version of Chandler.
Yeah. That's it.
That's a good assessment, Matt.
I think Oliveira's got the reach and stuff, but I just think the way Chandler's striking is coming on, the way he uses his feints and that, and even faking with a shot to create, you know what I mean, to create the striking and get in the right range. I think this is his time. I really hope I'm right. I'm going for Michael Chandler. And I'm putting 2 points on it. That's my last 2 points going on Mikey C.
2 prediction points on Chandler. Who have you got for the main event?
I have to go the opposite way.
I knew you would.
got to back Oliveira. I think, I said it before, you know, I think Oliveira is probably one of the most underrated guys in the UFC. let alone in that division. I think, you know, he's gone the hard way in that division. You know, he's had a few tough tests as well, you know, that he's gone out, you know, beat Tony Ferguson. I don't think you could possibly beat someone on a decision any more convincingly than he did. You know, he had a tough fight in, you know, it's going to be a tough fight for anyone in Kevin Lee. You know, and again, you know, he beat Kevin Lee, and yeah, Kevin Lee in his back foot. You know, again, you know, threatening the submission just relentlessly. I think once he puts a pace on you, I don't think there's many people that can keep up with that he's got, and the amount he improves in between every single fight as well. I think we're going to see another version of him. You know, he's so much sharp with his kickboxing as well. You know, he's very well balanced, I think, and he's, you know, just so potent in everything that he throws. I'm not super confident, but I've put my 1 point on Oliveira.
So one prediction point on Oliveira.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I understand why you wouldn't be as confident. I'm going to agree with you. I'm leaning towards Oliveira. Sort of like how Musa feels like he has to go with Chandler because he's a Chandler guy. So to go the opposite way now would be crazy. And I have been singing Oliveira's praises for a couple of years now.
You've been saying from way before he burst on the scene, you were saying this guy's the dark horse of the division.
Yeah. For a while now, he's had the most submission finishes in UFC history. In any division of anyone that's ever fought in a pair of UFC gloves, he's submitted more people than anyone. And he's only 32 years old, or 31 years old, sorry. He's 31 in his prime, and he's finished more people by sub than anyone. And I just think that's an insane stat. Oliveira's on an 8-fight win streak. The last time he lost was Felder in 2017, which is
4 years ago,
no screw up. Yeah. That's when he was sort of moving up to lightweight and he's not filled out properly. Oliveira's got 5 subs, 2 KOs and 1 decision in those 8. I've got Chandler is on a 3-fight win streak, or 3 by KO in less than 3 minutes. He's finishing fights fast. But the problem with that as well is he's not been out the first round since December 2018. So it's in the last 3 years, every fight he's had has been a finish in the first round.
Crazy power for the division, Annie, to be fair.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this, I was like, can Chandler finish Oliveira in the first round? Of course he can. But do I think he will? And I think Oliveira is going to push him, or he's going to survive, drag him out that first round. And if they start to grapple, or Oliveira starts to use that, what seems to be like a new version of striking, he's developed into his game. He's so much more crisper in his striking
good
now.
Good kickboxer, isn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't, though. He didn't used to be. No, he was just a jiu-jitsu guy, and all of a sudden, he's just so well-rounded. He's just
like
a monster.
It's like usually MMA striking is different. He's got a style of striking that works for him that probably wouldn't work in a K-1 fight. He's not going to go to glory, but with his skill set, he's got that style that he's adapted really well to MMA. And
plus, you've got to remember, he's like a shooter box fighter as well, isn't he? So, like, the training that he's been getting day in, day out, it's like...
Yeah. You got to remember, though, as well, everyone's so scared of his grappling and getting subbed by him that they'll leave holes in the striking department just to make sure they're ready for his takedown or ready for his clinch. So he can throw punches and kicks, because what are they going to do? Take him down? Yeah, that's what he wants. Because he's a beast on the ground.
But that's what I think is all. It's like almost nullifying Chandler's wrestling a bit, isn't it? Because
he's
brutal off his back as well, isn't he? You know, he's one of those.
Chandler's got to really think about this takedown. If he's going to take him down, he's got to be on point every single transition or movement if he's going to wrestle him. Because he only has to make one mistake and he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Similar to Gillespie vs Ferreira, though. I thought the same thing with that. I was thinking, well, Gillespie's main thing is wrestling. Does he really want to take Ferreira down? But and there was a few dicey moments, like you said. So.
Yeah.
And I think Oliveira's jiu-jitsu, all due respect to Ferreira, who's a black belt in his own right, I think Oliveira's jiu-jitsu is a level above that even. So,
especially for MMA, yeah.
Yeah, for MMA jiu-jitsu, yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go 3 prediction points on Charles Oliveira. I want to see him win the belt. I'd like to see Chandler win it as well, but 35 years old for Chandler. If he loses this, he might hang around in the top 5 for a while, but his dream to be champion might sort of fall off after this. And you'll see the Dariushes and the Ferreiras and the Gillespies start to enter that sort of top 8, top 7.
You might see the Gaethjes. I think Gaethje Chandler is a fight that I want to see so bad.
But I wouldn't be surprised in a year or two if Chandler and Gaethje have sort of moved out of that top 10. And you've got sort of like a Poirier, maybe a Gillespie, a Dariush, a Ferreira, maybe a Kevin Lee if he comes back, but that'd be worrying. Maybe a Max Holloway moving up soon. I think that division could look very different.
You know what, I think people like, I think with Gaethje especially, I mean, I think if he fought Poirier again, I think he could beat him. Because he was like still a bit wild when he fought Poirier, weren't he? But I Poirier knocked him out in the fourth round, I think, was it?
Gaethje?
Yeah, but I think if Gaethje, you know, is more measured now, isn't he? And, you know, Trevor Whitman's done a lot with him, you know, since he's actually started taking a couple of losses.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that rematch, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Gaethje as well in that.
I would argue Poirier's got better as well, though.
That
so it would be interesting.
Very true, yeah.
We need to see who Gaethje fights next and if they're going to enter this wrestling grappling world with him. So that's going to be interesting. Especially if you put him in there with someone like Makhachev. With like a Makhachev, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Makhachev would be a favourite in that. It'd be interesting to see what he does in the top five in this next year or two.
I think he needs like one more fight to get in there, doesn't he? I think maybe get him like against like
what
an
about
RDA
Ferreira versus Makhachev?
Or Dan Hooker versus Makhachev.
I think that's a big ask for Hooker though, because I think he's especially at the moment with COVID and that as well. I think getting him, the fight, it's like a 3-4 month round trip thing, isn't it?
At least, maybe
so,
more.
So I think like for that, I won't give him much chance against fighting Makhachev, especially with, like, with his wrestling. They say he's like the most talented wrestler in AKA, don't they? Like of all that, the Dagestanis.
You're saying pure wrestling, but can I just say, I've said this many times, you know these training room stories?
Yeah.
It's like when people say, oh, Rockhold and Khabib have really close wrestles and Khabib's strong as DC. No, he's not. Listen, as good as he is, and I think Khabib's like, don't for a second think when Khabib and DC wrestle, it's anything other than DC letting him get things.
Yeah,
like,
playing around with
it. Yeah, playing around with it. And the same with Rockhold even. Like, Rockhold could just like pick Khabib. Do you know what I mean? Like, as good as he is. Listen, they're not having close wrestles. I've wrestled with like good light. Well, we all have. Like we wrestled with good light heavyweights. Yeah. We're lightweights, and it doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Not at that level.
Yeah, you're right. Right. So let's call it there. So we're about 50 minutes there. So longer than usual on a fight prediction. So I've got my work cut out for me this week.
So the whiskey was flowing. We were going to talk to him, weren't we? I bought the whiskey in today.
Bit of whiskey, but that'll do us today. So as always, follow us on Instagram at @thecpwpod on Instagram. Yeah, we've got a good thumbnail for this one. Part of me doesn't want to put it up because it's...
you didn't get the swimming one, did you?
I'm the butt of the joke on this one.
If you did the swimming one, I'm not doing the podcast.
I can't always be the one in the background or the one not as the butt of the joke. So I'm taking the hit on this one. But we're all taking the hit on the next one, don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, I know what the next one is. Oh,
right, so that'll do us for today. So as always, pants down, thumbs up, and I'll see you on the next one.